ready.
Fudge and Rage, the new way to wake up in 2018. On 102.3 and 105.1 Hit FM.
Happy Monday, Rachel.
How good's this for a Monday? A trip to LA. We will tell you how you can win that. Plus, you can also win $500.
But that'd be pretty good, like, to spend there?
No, $500 completely different. You can spend it on whatever you want. That's
we're giving
five in ten.
Potentially two things.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. We're generous, aren't we?
Ridiculous. Also, the biggest news story of the day.
Hang on a sec. Oh, just
don't fiddle with your pants.
Just
biggest news story.
Tampering with my bowls.
Yeah. The day is the cricket scandal. So we'll be talking about that as well. And something's changed with you and your health.
Yeah. It's not great either. I'm feeling a bit crook today, but I think it's all part of it.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
We'll get into that in more detail a little bit later. And we'll also catch up with Deanie a little later on in the hour. Our Hollywood goss. We need our fix, especially on a Monday as well.
Everyone needs a bit of Deanie in their lives.
Oh, yeah. It's Bodge and Rach on Hit. Happy Monday. Here we go.
Get up out of bed. Get up for Harvey Norman, Port Macquarie. Get up with Bodge and Rach on 102.3 and 105.1 Hit FM.
I feel like we need to do a bit of a health check right now. How's your gut feeling?
It's actually not very good at the moment.
It's not, is it?
Not very good.
So for the past, I don't know, say 2 weeks or so, actually, do you know what? Since we've been doing the show,
yes.
There's been a few days every now and again where your poor little belly...
It's my whole body, really. It's been up the creek without
been
a paddle.
Aching. You've been to the doctors for certain things. You've worried me at some point. I thought your appendix was bursting last week because you're on that couch complaining
this
that you're
is
in
true.
A lot of pain.
No, look, I've been a bit crook for about a year, if I'm honest with you, because guys don't talk about this sort of stuff. They do not.
No.
So I've been a bit crook for a while, and a doctor told me when I was still living in Tamworth, God, that's how long ago it was. He said, look, eventually you probably won't be able to have dairy. I was like, are you sure? And he goes, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what's wrong with you. And I'm like, well, do you want to do a test? He goes, no, I can tell. I'm like, yeah, right.
So have you had another doctor tell you this recently, or did you just decide?
I sought some...
Oh, bugger off with your music, mate.
I sought some ancient music as well as ancient information.
I sought out some ancient music.
No, I sought out some ancient information to see whether or not I should be intaking dairy.
Was this ancient information off Google?
It was off of the...
No!
It was off of the internet, off of a Chinese website, and apparently they don't have dairy over there in the form of milk. They don't have that anymore. They don't do it.
Right.
A lot of them are intolerant to
it.
Can
I tell you what the greatest thing in the world is?
Yes.
Going to a Chinese restaurant and having coconut rice.
I love coconut rice, if
so
I'm honest.
Good. It is but so good. Anyway, that's off topic.
The thing is, though, is a lot of people are intolerant to milk, and apparently that is the way we are meant to be as adults.
Is that right?
This is what I.
So you're
this
supposed
is what
to have
I've
it
heard.
as a child, obviously.
Yeah, of course, yeah. But as adults, it's actually more normal to be, you know, intolerant to milk.
Right. So you're going dairy free at the moment.
I hate that I'm doing it.
How long?
All my favourite things have dairy in them.
Yeah, and you've realised that now.
Yeah.
How long have you been dairy free?
Whoa! What, Thursday? Since last Thursday.
So about 4 days.
Yeah.
And how's it going?
Well, I was feeling really, really good. I wasn't feeling crook at all. Because what was happening is my throat was closing up and I was getting that, you know, that afterburn.
It's
after
almost like acid reflux.
Yeah, I was getting, it was terrible. And I was like, this is gross. I can't do this anymore. And I thought.
And you stopped having coffee as well. And can I just say, you got a bit grumpy. I didn't like that.
Yeah, well, I get grumpy anyway. I haven't had a coffee this morning.
You're doing all right, though.
Yeah, I'm doing fine.
All right, so dairy-free Bodge, and you're still in pain now, though.
Yeah, well, see, I think this might be the next phase. I'm not a doctor or a scientist or nothing, but, you know, I'm feeling a bit crook this morning, and I feel like it could be something to do with the fact that I've gone off of dairy for a few days.
Right.
I think my body's crying out going, milk. Milk.
If anyone has any suggestions of dairy-free alternatives or recipes or something like that, give us a call on 13 12 16. But how are you going to cope at Easter?
Oh, don't even.
How are you going to cope? No chocolate.
Do you know
this
what?
Weekend.
Some things, Rachel.
What?
Some things are worth getting sick for.
And Easter egg chocolate
and
is one of
not
them.
Not just Easter egg chocolate, but choc chip, Easter, what do they call, hot cross buns,
hot cross
all
buns,
of them.
Everything.
I nearly don't care if I have to take time off for sickness.
So if you're not here the day after Easter Monday or on Easter Monday,
I probably won't be.
There's a problem. Well, we know what's happened.
Yeah, well, I've eaten chocolate.
You've eaten too much chocolate.
Here we go. Yeah. Get up out of bed. Get up for Harvey Norman, Port Macquarie. Get up with Bodge and Rach on 102.3 and 105.1 Hit FM.
Trending now at hit.com.au.
It is time to go to LA for trending for our one and only, our favourite person in the whole entire world, Dee McCarthy.
Morning.
I love it. Favorite person in the entire world. The feeling, my love, is mutual. Good morning, everyone. Happy Monday.
Yes, happy Monday / happy Sunday if you're in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. McCarthy.
Yep. That's right.
Chrissy Teigen, she's ditched Snapchat, but she's not the only celeb that's doing it.
No, that's right. You know, here's what's gone down. Now, Chrissy Teigen announced over the weekend on Twitter that she's leaving Snapchat. She said, look, the updates are confusing. People can't find her. And she also said that, you know, that Snapchat joke that they made about Rihanna and Chris Brown a couple of weeks ago, she said, no bueno, I don't want anything to do with this. I am done and dusted with Snapchat. Ooh. That makes Chrissy Teigen, Rihanna is done, Kylie Jenner is done, and the stock has dropped $1.3 billion in the last couple of weeks as well. So is this the end of the Snap? Possibly. Just calling it.
Well, Bodge is off Snapchat as well, haven't you, mate? You've dropped it.
I did get off Snapchat. I don't want to take credit for the $1.3 billion drop, but...
Just saying.
And I was keeping it to myself. If it goes down even further, well, we know why.
Well, I feel like Snapchat is on the way out because Instagram Stories has taken over. Instagram's just skyrocketing.
Well, you can do a lot of the same sort of stuff.
And Snapchat's annoyed a lot of people, so yeah. I reckon you're right, Dean. I reckon it's taken a turn.
Exactly, I think so. It's almost the end. This might be the final nail in the coffin.
Over in the US, I think it was yesterday, but not only just in the US, this has happened in Australia as well. The March for Our Lives were happening. Yeah. What's the go with that?
So basically, over the weekend, millions of Americans took to the streets to march for our lives. And what they were marching for is government changing the gun laws. And, you know, about gun control in America, because at the moment, as you know, it's very relaxed. You can buy a gun in America younger than you can go to the pub,
yeah.
Right? You can just buy a gun before you can go to the pub. Now, that I'm not a rocket scientist. That is crazy, though, right? Like, that's completely crazy. So they were marching on the streets. Everyone from every walk of life, celebrities, the Kardashians were there, politicians were there, athletes were there. Mm. It was everyone, you know, really trying to kind of create a movement so that they can change the ridiculous gun laws or lack thereof in America.
When I went to the US, I went there for a holiday, I got taken to a gun range and all they needed from me was me to write my name and the address I was staying
at.
I could have lied about all of it and then they handed me a gun.
You and I were talking about this morning, Bodge. We were saying that we don't think that this has ever happened. The fact that the children hold so much power.
I don't think I've ever seen this.
A once-in-a-generation thing. And I've seen photos from these marches. Not only in America, there were marches in Australia as well and in major cities around the world for this. I've seen children holding posters that are saying our lives are more important than the guns. Like, it's insane. Children as young as, like, 3 years old. Because it's true. Yep. They're the ones that are going to be going to the schools and they're the ones that will be in danger if something like this is to reoccur. So...
Well let's hope something comes of it.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much, Dean. Thank you so much for reporting and have a good rest of the weekend.
You're getting up with Bodge and Rach on Hit.
There was a study that has come out, or mainly just a news article, really, talking about the rise in gender-neutral names that are coming out.
Yeah, a lot of people are getting on. I don't know if it's a case of, you know, what's that woman, the one that's with Chris from Coldplay?
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Whatever. Anyway, she called...
Well, they're not together anymore.
Aren't they?
No.
Well, did they have to cut the apple in half?
They had a conscious uncoupling. That's what they called it when they split.
Cut the apple.
No, mate, because the apple that they have is a child.
Yeah, no, it's funny.
Funny,
they
good
called
joke.
It a weird name, that's all. But...
they were saying the Social Security Administration in the US, they put out a top 10 list of popular baby names every single year, but it also keeps track of the names that are on the rise. And in its top 1,000, Name Watchers were saying that there's a crossover and more neutral names have taken over.
Yeah.
Names like Royal, Charlie, Skylar, Justice, Oakley, and all sorts of names like that. And it got us thinking whether it was a thing or not. Like, I have a friend that was, it's not a gender neutral name, but it's quite a unique name. My friend's name's Desiree.
Yeah.
And other names that I have, you know how when you're starting to get to that age, you start thinking of possible baby names for your kids?
No.
No? Well, maybe it's just
quite at that stage.
Maybe it's just a female thing. But
yeah, okay.
I've got a couple. Two of mine, one's Tyler and one's Riley, and they're both gender neutral, can be named for either.
Tyler's a bloke's name, surely.
No, I've got a girlfriend named Tyler.
Yeah, right.
You can have both. Riley's both. Indiana is also both.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No.
I've got a mate named Indy as well that's a guy.
There's only one Indiana, all right?
There's only one Indy.
That's it. No others.
You can have two for Indiana as well. But other names that I've got on my little list are Montana and Heath. So those two, obviously, I suppose Montana you could use for both. But
I don't know if I'd call a bloke Montana.
I find those unique names, the ones that I've got on my little baby list.
If you were a bloke and you were called that, you'd get called Hannah Montana. You know you would.
Well, then don't name a bloke.
But my cousin Christine, okay? Mm. I love my cousin Christine. Mm. She's great. She got three kids. Okay, Riley, Hunter, and Kobe.
So they're all of them are gender neutral.
Yeah. And, I mean, yeah, they're great girls. They're all girls.
Oh, right.
But, they're gender neutral names.
But, yeah, there's gender neutral names. There's more unique names coming out now. Like, one of my friends has cousins, and they all have a theme in theirs. So there's Ocean, Laken.
No, there's Laken.
And River.
Laken. Oh, my God. Come
on. Well, there was an artist named Laken on The Voice a couple of years ago. So it is a boy's name. But, yeah, Ocean, Laken and River.
Why not just Lake? Why does that
No, because Laken, L-A-K-Y-N. Laken.
Do you know our boss has got, was it Summer? He was
Summer,
the same before, yeah.
That's a unique name.
Could you call a boy Summer?
I don't think so.
No.
It's more of a girl name.
Yeah.
But
nice name, though.
We wanted to know some of the more unique names, or if you do have gender-neutral names, why are your kids gender-neutral? I was always... So my parents, I think...
Well,
the
names of the kids gender-neutral.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
why
did you name the kids gender-neutral? Was it because you didn't know? Like, I know a lot of people are having these gender reveal parties, but some parents still don't want to know the name, the sex of their baby. So did you choose a gender-neutral name before you knew the sex, maybe, so that you could go either?
13, 12, 16. And just a quick note, our predecessor, Nicole, is expecting this week as well.
Oh, her
bub. Which is very, very exciting. And
we're
excited to see. I don't think she knows. I don't think she wanted to know whether it was going to be a boy or a girl. So it'd be interesting to chat to her as well down the track and see what's going on. Because not too far. But 13, 12, 16, please do get on the line and tell us if you got a weird named kid.
Not weird, a unique named kid or a gender neutral named baby.
Yeah, weird.
No, not weird. Bodge. Whenever we talk about weird names, mate, your name's Bodge, okay?
I've got no leg to stand on.
No, you don't.
Here we go. Get up out of bed. Get up. For Harvey Norman, Port Macquarie. Get up with Bodge and Rach on 102.3 and 105.1 Hit FM.
We have been speaking about the craze, or more of a trend, of gender-neutral baby names that are coming into effect. So I was talking about some of the baby names that I want to call my children. Yes. Tyler, Indiana and Riley were the three that could be used for either boys or girls.
Yeah.
So they're the three that I have. We were also talking about your family has some of them in there as well.
Yeah. I've got my cousin's daughters, daughters, Kobe, Hunter and Riley.
So they're all gender neutral names as well. And yeah, we wanted to know what unique names you've got, whether they're all gender neutral.
That's
on
right.
13, 12, 16. And Jamie has given us a call. Good morning, Jamie.
Jamie. Hello. Can you hear me?
Jamie hasn't given us a call this morning. She's dropped out.
She's still there. Jamie, hello.
Not happening. Did she manage to tell you what her...
Yeah. She's got a daughter named Tiger Honey.
Oh.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
That could be gender neutral as well. You could name your son Tiger, because there's that rapper in America.
That's spelled T-Y-G-A. That's a bit silly. But what about Tiger Woods?
So is it... Yeah, exactly. So is Tiger Honey, was it the one name or is it the middle name Honey or...
I believe their first name was Tiger.
It's Tiger Honey.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know what's going on with the phones. Phone's a bit skew-whiff at the moment.
That's all right.
Do you know what is a really common one? And even through the 90s when I was growing up, did you know that Ashley is a boy and a girl's name?
It is.
And my housemate's actually in the room with us right now, my current housemate.
She works with us as well. She's not just your housemate.
Yeah, this is true.
Hello, Ashley.
What's going on?
Hello.
How do you feel having a gender neutral name? Which has been a gender neutral name for a very long time,
It's so common. Growing up and going through school, we would have at least six Ashleys in every class.
Do you reckon that's hard for a school teacher, though, looking down and not knowing whether it's a boy or a girl?
I think that, you know, most of the time it's going to be a girl, though, is it not?
It was kind of 50-50, actually. The girl's name is more often spelt like L-E-A, L-E-E, L-E-I-G-H, whereas mine's L-E-Y, and
so
that's the boy's name, traditionally.
Well, I wasn't sure when I walked in. I was like, boy or girl? I just don't know.
Don't be mean.
No, when I saw the name.
Oh, sure. I was going to say, don't forget, one of our big bosses... Yeah. In Newcastle's named Ashley.
Yeah, I better be really careful.
Yeah, careful now.
Give me one sec. Let's see if we can get it. Jamie, are you there? No, we've given up on Jamie. She's tried calling back, but
Thanks for calling anyway, Jamie.
That's all right. There's a problem with the phone lines. Our techie's on it.
If you do want to keep sending through or calling through with gender neutral names or anything, we'd love to hear some of the unique names.
You're getting up with Bodge and Rach on Hit.
There was a story that came across my Facebook, I think it was last week I saw it, and it was in regards to Rache's, a casual dining restaurant. The closest one to us here on the Mid-North Coast is in Maitland, but they're starting to pop up more and more all around the place. And
what kind of dining is it?
So you can get all sorts. They do pasta, they do steaks, all sorts of dining. It's really, really good. Yummy food. But one of them in particular in Punchbowl has caught the eye of a lot of people because they are planning to have all of their staff basically trained with a basic knowledge of sign language by the end of this year.
Is that right?
Yeah, and we've got someone on. Her name is Sana from Rache's in Punchbowl. Morning, Sana.
Hi, Rachel. Good morning. Good morning, Budge. How are you guys?
Really good. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
What was the reasoning behind getting everyone souped up in Auslan, if you like?
Look, for a while now, I mean, we've been in Punchbowl for around 2.5 years, but for a while we've had so many deaf and hard of hearing customers come in throughout those years.
Yeah.
And although it was fine understanding them and we had a great relationship, the owner, Bashad, he really wanted to find a way where we can make it a lot more comfortable for them and become a lot more inclusive.
Yeah, so they obviously, when they would have come in, they would have been able to point to certain things on
correct.
The menu to order,
our
right?
Menu, that's correct. Our menu is quite good in that respect. We've got pictures for everything, yep. So it's fine. But at the same time, you know how you go to your favourite restaurant or your favourite cafe and you have that special relationship with your customers and you want to ask them about their day, you want to ask them about their children and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's really the kind of thing that we were looking for. It wasn't really about ordering. It was more about that relationship and that community spirit that we really wanted to instill in every part of the community, not just for certain parts of them.
I like that.
I love this. So the plan is to have all of your staff trained by the end of this year. Is that right?
Look, that's correct. We're already well underway. We've been doing the program for 2 weeks now, and in these last 2 weeks, we've hired five profoundly deaf people as waitresses and one interpreter. So the atmosphere at the moment is absolutely amazing down at the restaurant. I mean, they just create such a team effort about the whole thing. And we've got some of our regular waitresses and regular customers who have been so inspired that they've gone and actually taken it upon themselves to do their own courses in Auslan.
Yeah.
So they actually want to take it further. And that's what we want to see. We want that kind of dominoes effect where other customers get inspired and then want to go out and learn for themselves. And even other restaurants. We'd really love other restaurants to kind of get on board and make this like a thing.
Yeah, because I don't think I know or have seen it in any other restaurants before.
I've only seen it one time before, and it was on Carl Pilkington, An Idiot Abroad, where he went to Egypt and they had a KFC where they did it in Egypt.
Yes,
we did see that. Look, when Bashad had the idea, we did do our basic research online, just nationally in Australia, to see if there was another restaurant that we could model our restaurant on, because obviously we haven't done anything like this before.
Yeah.
And to our surprise, there was actually none there. But since then, we have been told there are a couple in Newtown, and there was one in Bankstown probably about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But none of them really had the idea where we want to make it absolutely mandatory, so that if anybody applies for a job at Punchbowl Rache's, they would have to go through a course where they would first learn basic Auslan, and then they would be it would be applicable for them to get the job.
I like that.
That's amazing.
And I think that if one place on the Mid North Coast jumps on that after hearing this, I think that would be it would be a huge achievement. And trailblazers that you are, I'm guessing that the area, the punch bowl area, you're causing waves there as well.
Oh, look, everybody is so excited. It's something, it's also something new to them. So they've never actually had this brung to them before.
No.
Yeah. So I mean, even ourselves, like even myself and Bashad, we would think that we were a bit ignorant to not do it a long time ago, and we wish we did, because it's just brought so much happiness. And you know, we've got so many of the of community groups on board. Obviously, being in Punch Bowl, we have a very large Arab Muslim population, and the local deaf Muslim group, a great bunch of girls, they came out and they're actually formulating a program for us about deaf awareness and hard of hearing awareness, and we love it. We just love making the restaurant more inclusive.
I really hope that this takes off around the country, especially here on the Mid North Coast. I would love to see, as you were saying, Bodge, restaurants here on the Mid-North Coast. You guys are leading by example. I'd love to see some copycat restaurants up here do the same thing. I've actually done Auslan before.
Have you?
My mum and I did it for a little bit. I wish I had have continued it. But honestly, you're right. This is almost infectious. I kind of want to go back and do it again and do the same thing.
That's exactly the word for it. It is infectious. So when we see other customers looking at the waitresses and that kind of stuff, they actually try to mimic them.
Yeah.
It's such an enjoyable experience for everybody. And like you said, I really hope other restaurants jump on board.
Well, why don't we learn it, Rach?
Why don't we? Let's do it. Let's jump on board.
I'm keen to do that.
Let's follow by example. Sana from Rache's in Punch Bowl, thank you so much for speaking
to
us this morning.
For Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
I wasn't mucking around.
No,
I'm
let's
totally
do it.
Gonna do
let's
it.
Do it. We'll I'm jump keen. On board. And I'd love to see not only restaurants, if anyone else wants to jump on board, let's go do Auslan courses.
Yeah, 13, 12, 16, get involved.
You're getting up with Bodge and Rach on Hit.
Look, do you know what? I'm going to go out and say it. It is the biggest story of the day.
Oh, well,
and it will continue.
Just started.
It will continue to be the biggest story. Of course, the scandal revolving the Australian cricket team.
It's heartbreaking. If I'm honest with you, it's heartbreaking because as a kid, I played have a go cricket. I played cricket. A lot of people on the Mid North Coast play cricket, and a lot of kids get involved in it. You don't want to see your heroes doing this.
So obviously, the Australian cricket team are in the middle of a test series against South Africa over in South Africa.
Yeah.
And ball tampering is what has happened.
It's terrible.
And they've officially come out and admitted to it. Steve Smith's admitted to it. Cameron Bancroft has admitted to it. We wanted to get someone on.
Well, we've gone back in time, if you like. We've gone back in time not too far away to a bloke that could bowl without having a cheat. In fact, he's on the line with us right now.
Former Australian cricketer Nathan Bracken, good morning.
Good morning. How are we?
What's going on, mate?
Yeah, could be better.
Bit of a
wasn't the news I wanted to hear over the weekend.
It's a bit of a strange one, isn't it?
It is, and the thing that sort of got me was the fact that they came out and said, oh, we sat down at lunch and had a chat about it. And I'm like, well, hang on, that's not what my lunch breaks used to be about.
No. Well, I'm trying to think back. It was the mid-noughties, and I reckon it was a one-dayer, and you took five wickets against South Africa, am I right?
In 2006, I think it was.
There we go.
Well done, Podge.
My mind's not gone just yet.
Hey, Brax, I do watch cricket and I have been to Test series before, but I just wanted to ask, you're a bowler, what actual effect does putting the tape on the ball have?
Well, I think I'm going from what I've heard from the press conference and all the things that have sort of come out, that obviously they had the tape and he was putting some of the rocks from the pitch on it and obviously to try and scuff the rough side of the ball up. But the thing that sort of had my question marks was they were looking to get the ball swapped.
Right.
Which is sort of, like if you're doing something like that, you're probably trying to get reverse swing or something like that. But to get the ball swapped, so that means usually there's a bit of damage to the ball before the umpires will swap it.
Okay.
So they were actually trying to damage the ball.
So that they could get them switched out.
Right.
Yeah, well, I'm going from what
you've
Bancroft
heard.
Said,
yeah.
whether he put that forward correctly or not, I don't know. But something like that, you're trying to be scuffing up the rough side of the ball to see if you can get the ball to swing, go reverse, do something, and it's probably at the stage in the test match the ball's starting to get a little bit soft. It's not doing much.
Yeah.
But then the thing is, it comes down to they said the senior group sat down and discussed it, but surely somebody in the senior group went, hang on, this isn't a great idea.
Yeah, something's a bit off about it all, because I can't see that they're all banding together and, like, you know, it's kind of a group.
Yeah, they're saying it was
almost
the leadership group's decision.
I can't see that being the case. I feel like they're saying one goes down, all goes down.
No, well, the thing is, things like that are, well, I've never seen those things discussed like that, but yeah, for him to come out and say that, he's not going to walk out there and say, oh, yeah, the leadership, because now all of a sudden the blame's on the leadership group. And he's not, I don't think the players would do that if Stephen had turned around and said, rightio, you're doing this.
Yeah.
Then I think he would have owned up to just being the only person involved in that. But the thing is, you're putting Bancroft in a tough position. He's a guy that was going into the series where people were talking he shouldn't have gone.
Yeah.
He probably wasn't a player that a lot were picking. They were looking at Renshaw or Burns to go in his spot. So he's in a position where he's got to get in with the captain, that leadership group, because he needs to be in the position where he's got a little bit of support from them. If it's a bit tough, they're going to jump in and help him out.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. He's played 8 tests, and all of a sudden, to be asked that, what do you turn around to your captain and say, or your leadership group?
Yeah, you can't exactly say
team.
No, can you?
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's probably the disappointing thing, that he was painted into a corner and had to do it. And the ICC have come out with their sanctions. And
so they should.
Yeah, as a result of this, Steve Smith will miss the final test. He's been fined 100% of his match fee. I think he's also stepped down as captain for the remainder of the test. And Cameron Bancroft has been fined 75% of his match fee, a level 2 charge of ball tampering, and he's been hit with 3 demerit points. Now, if they get hit with 4 points, it's a 1-test ban, which is what Steve has copped. Brax, do you think that's fair?
Yeah, at the moment.
Bit of a knee-jerk reaction, but it would be appropriate, surely.
Yeah, well, I think when you look at it, Cricket Australia is going to be and should be the toughest sanctions.
Yeah,
they've done the right thing sending the guys over there to meet with the players face to face. It's something you can't, like, everybody goes, oh, make a phone call, find out, blah, blah, make a decision. You can't, because you need to be there. You need to discuss with every player, and if you're sitting face to face with somebody, it's a lot different to a phone conversation.
Yeah, true.
You're going to get your facts, you're going to get your information, then make your decision off the back of that. And they've got a little bit of time leading into the next test. I don't think Steve will, now with the decision made, and I think, and to be honest, I think Cricket Australia would have known roughly where the ICC was going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
So they would have known Stephen Smith was unlikely to captain because of suspension. That now basically gives them right through. They've shown their hand with obviously putting Tim Payne in charge there. So that may be where it's going to sit for the last test, but you need to sit down and find out who's in that group and who was in that discussion and did anybody object to it. And then you can make your decision on what happens going forward for the team. But they need to work hard to get back the trust of the Australian public.
That's the thing. Speaking of that, going forward, do you think there's room for forgiveness? Do you think the Australian public will be able to forgive? And do you think Steve Smith will be able to stay as captain?
I don't think he'll be able to stay as captain. I think that's something that maybe in a few years' time it may be an option, but I think at the moment it needs to be a fresh start, and I think that's where it will go. And the big thing is, they'll get the trust back of the Australian public, but it's about how they go about it.
Yeah.
And it's going to be harder with the fact that I think they've got one test left and then there's a break. They go, some of the players will go to the IPL, some of the players will have a break, and that's going to be, if they'd rolled onto another series and played good, fair cricket and those sort of things, then all of a sudden you're sitting there going, okay, well, look, hey, it was an incident, it was a one-off incident, now they're moving forward. But because of the gap, it's going to be something that's going to linger until the test side rolls back out and starts playing cricket again and goes back under the microscope of public criticism again and see how they handle it.
So have you got, in your mind, can you see anyone, aside from this situation, can you see anyone other than Steve Smith able to lead the Australian cricket team?
Oh, there's always players there that can do it. Like when Stephen was given the reins, there was talk of other players were in the positions to do it. So there's always players with the capability of leading that team. And what you've got to look at is a player that's got the right approach and he's going to deal with the players in the right way and take the team in the direction that everybody wants it to head. And that's got to be a decision. It'll be a tough decision, because the thing is, you need players that have cemented their spots, because we've seen the pressure that, the captaincy can put on players. We've seen the decisions and the mistakes they can make as captain, and there's been a lot of those, and there's a lot of criticism, but everybody's got their 2 cents worth on on how good your captain is, whether, and if you draw a test match, oh, he wasn't aggressive enough, but then he's aggressive and you lose it, he was over the top, and you can't win. Unless you're winning every game, you can't win, and then when you win every game, they say, oh, it's boring.
Fair enough. So
he's in that tough position.
The important thing now, I guess, is from my point of view, apart from the integrity of the game, is the kids that look up to him. What do you reckon they can take away from this?
He's made a mistake and they've owned up to the mistake.
Yeah.
Okay, they did get caught, but at least they had, I guess, the ability to sit there and say, yes, we made a mistake. Yeah. They've owned up to it. They haven't tried to deflect it away. And I guess when you look at the positive side of things, and out of the incident, that's what it is. Stephen Smith, still a very good batsman. Bancroft, still a very good batsman. The leadership group is still very good players. Let's hope it's a one judgment slip that they've made, and they're moving forward. It will be things that will affect them in both, obviously, sponsors and those sort of things and fan supporter base. But we all know, and we've all seen that players can turn their lives around. We've seen it in many sports where players have had a lot worse incidents happen.
Yeah.
And have turned their lives around and have turned their sporting ability around and those things. So let's hope this happens and these guys go down and this becomes a little footnote on their Wikipedia page when they finish playing.
Exactly. Yeah, onwards and upwards from here. Hopefully something like this won't happen again and the boys can move past it. Everyone can move past it. And Nathan Bracken for captain of the Australian team from here on out. Yeah.
Bracken. Thanks, mate. Thanks for joining us.
No worries. Take care.
Thanks, Brax.
You're getting up with Budge and Rach. On Hits.